In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The text for this morning's sermon is the Gospel appointed for this Sunday of Sexagesima, the Gospel according to St. Luke, the 8th chapter, beginning at verse 4. And when a great multitude had gathered, and they had come to him from every city, he spoke by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed. And as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trampled down, and the birds of the air devoured it. Some fell on rock, and as soon as it sprang up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. But others fell on good ground, sprang up, and yielded a crop 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." Then his disciples asked him, saying, "What does this parable mean?" And he said, "To you it has been given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to the rest it is given in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are the ones who hear. Then the devil comes and takes away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. But the ones on the rock are those who, when they hear, receive the word with joy. And these have no root, who believe for a while, and in time of temptation fall away. Now the ones that fell among the thorns are those, when they have heard, go out and are choked with cares, riches, and pleasures of life, and bring no fruit to maturity. But the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience." This is the Gospel of our Lord. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our Lord speaks to the great multitude a parable. One with which I am sure most of you are quite familiar. The sower sows his seed. Just reaches into his sack of seed, flings it out there. Some falls by the wayside, the road, where it is trampled or eaten by birds. Some falls on the rock, and the initial signs of life soon give way to withering. Some fall among thorns, and it is choked out. And some falls on the good soil, where it yields many times as much seed as was originally planted. Much is lost. Much ends up looking like wasted effort and resources. But when one sees the end result, in the end, it's all worth it. This text comes up on this day, Sexagesima, in the middle of the three Sundays of pre-Lent, because, as has been stressed recently, pre-Lent is recruitment time, a time of recruiting people for service in the church and a time of recruiting those who are not yet believers to receive instruction in the doctrine of God's holy word, that they may then be received into the communion of the church. This is the point to which our text speaks. Some of you know this. I like math. More often than not, people, including but not limited to my middle daughter, look at me a little strange when I say that. Engineers and mathematicians don't. But literary and artistic types can't for the life of them imagine how someone could be almost hypnotically attracted to numbers and equations. But I'll tell you what it is for me. Math always works if you do it right. If you don't miscalculate or break one of the rules, if math is done correctly, it always works. I remember well, at the end of my first year in seminary, Professor Andy Bartelt, calling each of the first year students into his office, mostly for one of these how's it going sort of talks. He gazes into my file. No kidding, this is what he said. Has anyone ever told you you shouldn't be here? You should be off studying engineering at MIT or something. Still remember laughing and asking him if he was looking at my GRE scores. He said yes. I asked him to avert his eyes from these and look at my grades. I asked if they looked okay. He said, well, yeah. At which point I said, good. I'm doing what I want to be doing. I'm doing what I believe the Lord wants me to do. Is there anything else we need to discuss? The interview soon ended, and by the grace of God, here I am, preaching His Word, and sometimes when I'm bored, entertaining myself by doing math equations in my head. Math always works. Sowing seed doesn't. And as our Lord Himself explains, the seed is the Word of God. Sowing the Word of God doesn't always work in the sense that we think of it working, the results we'd like to see, either. There's nothing wrong with the Word of God, just as there is nothing wrong with the seed. It's just a question of where it lands. And the four different kinds of ground on which it lands are four different general categories of people. to be careful that we do not push the point of the parable too far, please note that you can't tell what kind of soil people will be by looking at them. I learned this lesson years ago when a Muslim man engaged me in a discussion of religion, and by the end of that discussion, he was professing faith in Christ. Up to that moment, Muslims were in my mind kind of a write-off category. You'll never reach them. Write no one off. We've had and do now have members of this congregation who come from some of the wildest personal and religious backgrounds you can imagine. A former freelance pharmacologist, let the hearer understand. Former Jehovah's Witness, people of Jewish descent, a former Wiccan priestess. You can't assume that this, that, or the other kind of person just won't listen, or some other kind will. You don't know. You just don't know. I don't know. And that's the part of the parable that I confess to you I don't like. I've told you before about wishing this parable could be the parable of the seed-sowing sharpshooter, where I aim straight and hit the fertile soil every time. Some of you suffer from variations of that too. Once you kind of get it through your head that, no, that's not what the parable teaches, you say, okay, sling the seed out there. But this particular seed is important to me. A child, or a sibling, or a dear friend. And you kind of want to take the Lord aside and say, Lord, I'll sling the rest of it out there, but please, 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 make this one hit the fertile ground. He doesn't make that promise. There is no mathematical formula guaranteeing a successful planting. Beware of those. Sometimes trusting in formulas becomes a substitute for trusting in God. Even worse, we may become shy about speaking God's word. You are not sure it will take root. You're not sure this is good soil. It may not be worth the effort. And look at that, he's got tattoos. Dear ones in Christ, ignore those sinful and possibly even demonic voices in your heads. Sling the seed out there. See what happens. Thanks be to God, our Lord didn't suffer from that kind of thinking. Yes, many will not listen or will buckle under pressure or will be led astray by the allurements of this world. We are all entrusted with sowing the seed, especially those entrusted with the pastoral ministry of the church. We are to harbor no illusions that any of us, will be sharpshooters. The Holy Spirit works through His Word to create saving faith when and where He wills. And as I have discovered, and probably most of you have discovered at one point or another, His schedule and mine don't necessarily dovetail. Nevertheless, our Lord became flesh that He might do His saving work and speak His saving words among the children of men. We believe because the word of law and gospel, the word of repentance and forgiveness of sins on account of Christ Jesus, the word of salvation has been spoken to us. That word has been planted in your ear holes as certainly as seed is planted in soil. And it was spoken to us by parents, teachers, friends, pastors, all of whom had no guarantees about whether or not we would remain in the faith. And some of the people to whom they spoke the same words may well have turned away. But they spoke them anyway. And now you enjoy the gift of salvation. Freely you have received. Freely give. Sling the seed out there. Christ, seemingly recklessly, speaks the gospel to those who receive it and those who don't. He entrusts us with doing the same. In this season of recruitment, this season of church growth the right way. God embolden you. Open your mouths and say something. Find the courage to have that conversation about Jesus with someone. You never really know who will listen. While we have said that we may have no confidence in people, they may or may not receive the word of Christ unto salvation. We may nevertheless have every confidence in the word of God itself. Just like seed, it has the potential for life within it. In some hearts it may take root and in others not, just as seed takes root in some soils. And in others not. The power of the word does not depend on you. Your powers of persuasion, your personal dynamism, or whatever. This is the reason our epistle speaks of St. Paul and his thorn in the flesh. I've learned over the years to take joy in that. I am thinking of a certain individual whom I will not name, but he's a very well-known preacher down in Houston. And newsflash, he's prettier than me.
And I will rejoice. And what was my cousin called it? Plain at best. I will rejoice in being plain at best. It's one more assurance that every good thing that happens here is the working of God. You're not coming for the pretty preacher. The one thing that does matter is that what we are sowing really is God's Word, which in turn is why we have the Old Testament reading from Isaiah 55. God's Word will not return to Him void. When and where He pleases, faith will be created in the hearts of men. It will accomplish the purpose for which He sends it forth. If in your conversations you are sowing your feelings, your personal experiences, the profundities of your reasoning and insights or whatever, if you're sowing feel-good fluff that other people like to hear, but isn't necessarily the truth and certainly isn't the Word of God, you might as well be sowing thistle seeds and hoping that wheat will grow. The sowing we are entrusted with doing is the sowing of God's Word. And if you're going to sow that, you have to have a supply. Dear ones in Christ, it falls especially to those in the office of the Holy Ministry to know God's Word and preach it purely. But if you would respond to the call of the church to be recruiters, to be those who call people to receive the words of salvation, get unstuck from you, from yourself, from your worldly wisdom, your business principles, your persuasion techniques, or whatever, and speak what God has given you in His Word. And that requires due diligence on your part to read, mark, learn, and inwardly digest what that Word says, your own self, so that you have that supply to be sowing. I would encourage you to start with John 3:16. It covers the basics. But keep your focus on Christ and not on you. Here's an idea. Treat God's Word like it's your religion. It is. And I suspect that some of our personal and congregational weaknesses in spreading the good news of Jesus Christ stems from individual and congregational weaknesses in devoting ourselves to that blessed and saving good news. Let us all together repent of that. Devote yourself to its study. Speak of it in your homes. Encourage your children to believe it and contemplate what it teaches in your own minds. God speaks His Word in Genesis, and creation happens. The centurion beseeches Jesus to speak His Word, that His servant may be healed. Jesus speaks it, and healing happens. God's Word is His instrument, His tool, the means by which He accomplishes what He would do. Whether that is creation, or the healing of a body, or the conversion of a soul. There have been days in the history of Israel, in the history of the church, in the history of man, when very, very few believed it. And even those who believed the Word of God mixed much nonsense together with the pure Word. And we live in days like those. Be not like unto the world around you. Be not like unto the abject foolishness that sometimes passes for Christianity in the world around you and in churches up and down the road. Know God's Word. Believe it and keep it whole and undefiled. I can't tell you what a profound impression it made on me. Going to Russia, where Joseph Stalin had decided to make the Lutheran Church his first example of how you wipe out a religion, deported all of the women and children to Kazakhstan and Siberia, conscripted all of the men into the commie army, and shot all of the priests. And the church survived because before those boneheaded priests got shot, they made their people memorize the scriptures and study the catechism and memorize it too. The church survived because it was a church of people who were devoted to the Word of God. And you could shoot their priests and you could confiscate their catechisms, but you could not take the Word of God from their hearts and minds where it was firmly planted. I saw a quote from a Roman Catholic bishop in America who said something to the effect of, he expected to die in his bed. He expected his successor to die in jail. And he expected his successor to be martyred. It was his observation of how our culture is turning hostile to Christianity. Treasure the Word of God. The day may come that the Word of God you have is the Word of God you have memorized, and that's all you've got. That Word has been planted in you. Do not imagine that you can improve on it. Rather, tend to it, cultivate it, as more seed comes forth, as the plant of faith takes ever deeper root, well, then you have more of the seed to be spreading around. But then do be spreading it around. It is an error to think that you can be a great guy or lady and spread the gospel without speaking words. Repent of those places where your life does not match the message, and all of us will ever have some of that repenting to do. But speak the message anyway. For faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And nobody would ever have heard anything if only those who thought of themselves as sinless vessels had ever spoken it. Speak it on. And do not think to withhold it. Because this or that soil doesn't look so very promising to you. Most of all, rejoice that the word of Christ is planted in you. Christ has been born and assumed our flesh. God became man that man may be saved and partake of the divine nature. Christ lived a perfect life, a sinless life, so that his life may count in the place of our sinful ones. Christ has suffered and died on the cross, the perfect atoning sacrifice that completely pays the full debt of our sin. We enter soon into a season of intense contemplation of what that means. How great is the depth of our sin and the gift of his sacrifice to answer for it. We know too of the resurrection of Christ and how his resurrection assures us that our sins are paid for and we too shall rise. We know that in his ascension, our human nature has been received up into the glory of God. And as we are new creations in Christ, what it means to be human has become glorious once again. This is the seed that has been planted in you, that you have believed. This is the seed that you are entrusted by our Lord Christ with spreading and bringing others to receive instruction in the Holy Word. So open your mouths and do it. Most of all, this is the seed that saves you, that grows up within you unto everlasting life, the seed of salvation by grace through faith in Jesus Christ, your Savior. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.